1 John chapter 2. Now, I changed batting orders today for one major reason, okay? It's because you went an hour and 20 minutes last week. No, that's not the reason. Okay? That's not the reason. The reason is because I knew the text that Bob would be in, and I want to ask this question. That church in Ephesians 4 that has been given gifts of apostles, prophets, pastor, teachers, that are equipping the saints for the work of the ministry so that they're growing in their love for the word, love for each other in ministry. Here's your question. How do you destroy that church?
False teaching.
1 John chapter 2. Follow with me in verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. Question, and I won't get to this today. They, what's the antecedent to they?
Antichrist.
They, the Antichrist, went out from us, for they, Antichrist, were never of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They went out, but they went out that it might become plain that they were not of us. Question, I won't get to all the day, is so where are these Antichrist appearing? Church. Just where they are. Okay? Keep reading. But now, but you have been anointed by the Holy One. And you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you've heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about everything and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him. Let's pray. Father, we again pray for understanding. Father, give us encouragement, but also warning in this text to the praise and honor of Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, if we look in Scripture about the church and how the church gets destroyed, if you look at Satan's ploys in destroying the church, we could find several things, and it's just some broad headings. We could find that Satan gets in the church, Satan is magnified in the church, churches dissolve over disunity. Okay, disunity. In fact, that's in that text in Ephesians, that we fight for the unity of the Spirit, that we are heading all in the same direction, that we love the same Lord, that we want to apply the Scriptures. And so then disunity sets in for whatever reasons happen, and the church can be destroyed. Secondly, sin, obviously. You could talk about 1 Corinthians as Paul addresses them, that they are tolerating sin in the church of the worst type, to the point that the sin that they're tolerating is not even named among those that are outside the church. That's how bad it's gotten. So that sin can be tolerated not only in the pew, but in the pulpit. You know, we see this today. OK, Okay, it's not just in Paul's day. There's Bob mentioned that you don't see church discipline much anymore. The church is no longer in the position, or no longer wants to take the position, that we're going to address sin in people's lives. We don't love them enough to address the sin. But same thing, there are many preachers that the church is not addressing their sin either. And so sin can obviously have a devastating, and of course then doctrine, obviously doctrine in destroying the church. Now, you look at churches today, many that are on television, and I'm not here to make a list of who's true and who's not, but it's easy to see that even in churches with false doctrine, people flock to them.
Yes.
So, Satan destroys and seeks to destroy the church in that way. Well, in John's epistle that we have been looking, John is distinguishing very quickly, he's distinguishing between true believers and who is not. Okay? This is the issue. This is the test to determine who's in and who's out. It is a test to for you to examine yourselves. But if you look over at the theme verse in chapter 5 that we haven't referred to that often recently, 1 John 5, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son, that you may know that you have eternal life. And we know as we keep going through John that he has these test that he keeps offering up, and they are continue to be offered up. As I've mentioned before about John, he's just got three things he's saying. He just says it five times through the whole letter. He's old. Okay? Old people repeat themselves.
Yes.
John's old.
Yes.
Right? He's the last man standing. Right? And so he's repeating himself and repeating himself. He's going back over the same material over and over again, expanding it just a little bit. Just as an asterisk parenthesis, could it be possible in the other book that John wrote around this time that he's covering the same time period instead of chronological order? Now, if you have no clue what I'm saying, don't worry about it. Okay? But I have to ask the question. Say, it's a good question to ask.
Yes.
Just throw that out there. And say, somebody's going to go back to there and write down, Pastor, what did you mean when you talk about a serpent? And I'll let Bob answer. Okay. There is the test of doctrinal test that John mentions. It is to test the doctrine of sin. Do you have the right view of what sin is? And then secondly, the right view of who Christ is. That's what we'll be dealing with in this text. And then, of course, John mentions the moral test. It is love for Christ. It is love for the Word and obedience to the Word. And it is for the love of others, the love of the brethren. They will love Christ. They will love others. They will love His Word and what we looked at last week, and they will not love the world. These are the true believers. Well, in verse 18 and following, John offers for us a warning. This is as far as we'll get today, a warning. Look, first of all, with me in verse 18, children. It is the word, again, that we found in verse 13, latter part of verse 13, I write to you children because you know the Father. Paideia. Paideia. Those infants, those that are still under the authority and the instruction of their parents. These are new believers. These are literally children of the faith. They are characterized by several things. Number one, they're characterized by limited knowledge. In fact, in verse 13 says, all that they know is they know the Father. They are very much, as I mentioned in John, where you had the man that was born blind. Listen, I don't know all that. All I know is, once I was blind, now I see. Okay, you have to ask the question: how much does a just a convert have to know? Well, he just has to know Jesus Christ. He has to know about his sin. He knows about repentance. But does he know, does he understand all that? Is he able to articulate the deity of Christ? Is he able to articulate regeneration and faith and propitiation? Is that what he's got to be able to do? Or it's simply, he just knows the Lord.
Yes.
They're limited. They're just like a child is limited in their knowledge, so those who come to faith in Christ, they're limited in their knowledge. Secondly, they're ignorant. And I don't mean that in a derogatory term. I'm just saying that they just don't know. It makes them, but this ignorance, this lack of knowledge makes them gullible to false doctrine. In fact, turn back with me to Bob's passage in Ephesians 4. I'll be there in just a minute. It makes them gullible to false doctrine. It makes them prone to weaknesses and to dangers. And in Ephesians 4, that text that Bob was in today, Ephesians 4, look at verse 14 and 15, so that you no longer be children, paideia, characteristic, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes. They are prone to that. These children lack discernment and they're vulnerable to the allurement of deceivers and false teachers. Turn over with me to 2 Timothy just a moment. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This time period that Paul is going to mention here puts us in the same time period that John is talking about that we'll uncover in just a moment, because in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3 he says, but understand this, that in the last days, and you say, well, ours says last hours, we're talking about the same time period, last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Question, are these lost people or saved people? Harry?
Lost people,
right? Having the appearance.
Yes.
They're playing the part. They show up. Might even wear a suit. They give the appearance, but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them, among who? Those lost, those who have the appearance, are those who crept into households and captured weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. This is leading people astray. Well, back in our text, it's this warning that he has mentioned here to these children, these paideia, these ignorant ones, these one that have limited knowledge. They don't know all that the young men up in our previous text or the fathers know. They're just coming along children. It is the last hour. Well, in Scripture, and I'm not getting into eschatology today, I'm just telling you that in the Scripture there are two ages. There is the present age and there is the age to come. This last hour in this present evil age. That words are there. It is the last hour. It could be translated. The word "the" actually does not appear in the original, and it can be translated the last hour or a last hour. It's a period of critical change. It denotes the time period preceding the Lord's return, according to Matthew chapter 24, 11 and 12. Listen, we are in these last days, right? Okay. In fact, real quickly, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The writer of Hebrews reminds us long ago and in many times and in many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, who He appointed heir of all things, through whom He created the world. These last days began with the coming of Christ and will end in the second coming of Christ. Okay, we are in these last days. We have been since He first came. Now we are in the last hours of the last days. Well, how do you know that? I mean, there's lots of people who want to set a time frame to the Lord's return, right? Okay. Jehovah's Witness, 1914, yeah. And?
And then 1925, and then 1941, and then 1975.
And they quit after 1975?
Actually, technically, the others are Armageddon, and Christ came invisibly and imperceptibly in 1914.
Okay. So, we got people like that. And let's be honest, you know, we're having a Bible conference talking about false teachers and self-deception and assurance of saving faith. You want to pack the place out? Have one on prophecy and tell them you know when the Lord's coming back. Okay? We don't know. Any attempt to do so is, I think, it's a sin issue.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Be honest with you. My opinion. But we are in the last hours. How do you know that? Because John says so. It is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. How did John know it was the last hour? It was the last hour because of the Antichrist that were there. Now, how long's an hour last? Well, I did some calculation. If the verse that a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is at a day, that means it's 46.6 hours is years. Is that what he's trying to tell us? Okay, is that verse about a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day? Is that a mathematical equation? No. What is it telling you? That time doesn't mean anything to God.
Right.
Okay? But for us, we are in these last hours. And how long does an hour last? I don't know. On God's clock.
Right.
Evidently, it's been running for close to 2,000 years. You say His watch runs slow. Yes, it does. Okay? But it runs with purpose.
Yes.
It runs with purpose. This last hour, you know, an hour for us is 60 minutes. But an hour when you're sitting in a boring lecture? Oh, man, do you remember those days? And you're sitting there looking, you're like, is the second hand still ticking? I had a teacher, bless his heart, Dr. Anderson. Oh, man, I can't even think about the Gospel of John that I don't think about him. And he didn't start teaching till the bell rang. To leave. And unfortunately, we had chapel following that, and our class was inherently late. And finally, Dr. Bob himself had to tell Dr. Anderson, "You got to speed it up, son." Which our class was, praise the Lord. But you've been there. Or sitting in a doctor's office, and it's an hour. But there's other times that things are enjoyable, and that hour goes quickly, right? This hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. So it's not the only time John talks about the Antichrist. In fact, of the word Antichrist, do you know how many times it's used in the Scripture? I'm about to show you all of them. Look at verse 22. Who is a liar, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, this is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. Chapter 4 in verse 3, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world already. And chapter 2 John chapter obviously 1 verse 7, for many deceivers have gone into the world, those who do are confessing the coming of the Lord Jesus in the flesh. So is one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. It's the last hour. Children, be on guard. Watch. It's the last hour. Look at the next phrase. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. When had they heard that? Well, you could argue that they had heard through John's ministry and others about Daniel 7 and 8 and 11 as the Old Testament predicted about the man of sin that was coming, the man of perdition that was coming. But you also have to realize that John's writings, we are in the early 90s of the end of the first century of the church. John dies about 96 to 98. Well, we know that somewhere between 50 and 51, Paul had finished his letters. And if you'll go with me to 2 Thessalonians real quick, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 3. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you about these things? Now, as I mentioned in the beginning, I'm not about to start down the road of eschatology and deal with all that the Antichrist. Just to note that they have been taught that this man of sin is coming, and John is reminding him not only is that man coming, but the spirit of the Antichrist. Christ is already here. Already there. You can look at the other names in 2 Thessalonians 2, also in Matthew chapter 25. I'll just leave you for those. But while this text describes the final one, these texts that Paul and Jesus even teaching in Matthew 25, John is dealing with the attitude of the Antichrist, the spirit towards Christ, the characteristics of all Antichrist, because there are many. Look back at our text. This is the last hour, and as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrist has come. Therefore, we know it's the last hour. They went out from us. They are not of us, for had they been of us, they would have continued with us, but they have known out, but they went out that it might become plain that they never were of us. What is this spirit of this Antichrist? Well, we have to take a word apart. The word anti can mean one of two things. It means against or in the place of. Against or in the place of Christ. Anyone who is, listen, opposed to Christ or seeks to falsely represent Him. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 24 real quick. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verse 4, Jesus answered them, saying, "See that no one leads you astray." Verse 5, "For many will come in my name, saying," what? "I am the Christ," and they will lead many astray. MacArthur says, so you can think of the Antichrist not as so much as a person, but as a force, an attitude that incarcerates itself in people in every generation since Christ first came. Anybody and everyone who is against Christ, anybody and everyone who rejects Christ, they don't have to be false prophets. They don't have to be false messiahs. They don't have to be false teachers. All that is required is to possess the spirit of the Antichrist, is to be against Christ. To John, this is simply another way to describe who? The unbeliever.
Yes.
Remember, all John's doing is contrasting the believer with the unbeliever? That's what he's doing. It's simply another way to describe the non-believer. The Christ rejector.
Yeah.
Certainly it embraces false teachers and false Christ, but it is not limited to them. Anyone who rejected Christ, in particular those who known about Christ and having the truth told, the truth about Christ, and rejected him, therefore bore the name of Antichrist in a more direct way because of having heard of Christ, they heard the gospel of Christ, they took up positions against Christ. Anyone in that posture is an Antichrist. Yes, Mark 13, 6, Jesus says, "And many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many." There are fewer of those who actually proclaim to be Christ, but they're around. But there are many who are against Christ, who reject Christ, and many of them grew up right in the church.
Yes.
I think it was MacArthur that was... He was on Larry King Live or one of those years ago, and talking about the gospel and proclaiming the gospel, and he got a letter in the days following. The person that wrote it threatened his life. They had to increase the security there at the church. They, for a while, wouldn't let him drive home. They had to be driven home. They had to increase security not only around him but around the church. And this man, just his letter was full of filth and anger. And the end of the letter was saying this, "And by the way, you baptized me at Grace Church." Wow. That's a lost person.
Yeah.
It's a lost person. These antichrists offer distorted and aberrant views of the nature of Christ. As John says in his second epistle that we already looked at, these are deceivers, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Also, as we already read in chapter 4, verse 3, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world already. You know, as I mentioned, you know, we hear the word Antichrist, and I think you guys may be different, but if you say that to the average person, they are thinking about one individual.
Right.
That's coming, right? Okay. I inherited, you know, that's continues to change. Yeah, Bob and I had lunch with a couple pastors this week, and I didn't say anything. I just sat there and smiled because they were talking about this new book that had come out about Babylon and who the person was, the Antichrist, basically. And it was no longer the Catholic Church. It's Islam. It's that thing. And I didn't say anything, so I'm smiling. Because I remember one radio preacher who, I used to have it on tape. I mean, he preached through the end times, and it was that hill, and it was the Pope, and it was, because if you want to ask Luther who it is, he'd be glad to tell you who the Antichrist is. Okay, all right. Now it's changed. I just want to be careful about saying this verse of the description has to fit these people.
Right.
Because that could change. And as and that same guy who was preaching about the Catholic Church being that, now his whole series now in the Revelation has shifted to now it is indeed Islam and those. And the reason I say that, Revelation 13, verse 5, I'll read it to you. You don't have to go there. Revelation 13, verse 5, says, "And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months." Okay, so who is that? Well, I inherited my grandfather's Bible, grew up down here in Putnam. My mom would tell you her dad probably knew more Bible than any layman that she had ever met. Well, I have his Bible. And in the fly leaf on this verse, it's got out the side, "Is this Mussolini?"
Oh.
That's how they were thinking.
Oh.
Okay? You're trying to, could this be? Well, it wasn't, obviously. Right? John's not dealing with that person at the end. He's dealing with the spirit of the Antichrist. That they are Antichrist. They are against Him. And they are in the church.
Yes.
According to verse 19. John is dealing with the spirit. The deniers that Jesus is the Messiah. They deny the Father and the Son. This Antichrist spirit is a usurper who teaches false pretenses, assurance of position which does not belong to him and opposes the rightful owner. If you want to just deal with the title. The characteristic of this Antichrist, they infiltrate the church and mingle among the true believers, and they spread lies and deception. Verse 18, among whom? The children. Why? Because they're ignorant. And they're gullible, and they don't know. You think of these antichrists that have literally come out of the church. I saw a documentary a few months ago on Jim Jones. Did you know where he was birthed from? He was birthed out of the church. Or Joseph Smith, or Jehovah's Witnesses. False doctrines that have been birthed out of the church. Those that have abandoned the truth. And I don't say abandoned from the standpoint that they lost what they had. They revealed they didn't have it.
Yes.
They revealed really who they were. They deceive people with false doctrine. They denied the true faith. They denied the deity of Christ. They denied His eternality. They denied His oneness with the Father. This is what they deny. And according to verse 19, these have departed. They've left the faith. Listen, we're not talking about in every church of any type that's it could be a church of worth or a church of not of worth. It doesn't make any difference. People leave church. In fact, there's two rules of church life that you need to know. Okay. Rule number one, people leave. They die, they move, or they just leave. Okay, one of those three. Okay, people. Rule number two, you can't change rule number one. You can't keep people from dying. You can't keep people from moving. And you know what? I have found out after 33 years of ministry, when people get a burr in their sidle about something, no amount of smoothing over I can do can get them to stay. Listen, I'm not talking about the person who leaves Providence and goes to First Baptist.
Right.
We're not talking about that person. That happens all the time. I get it. People leave churches. Some of you have. Okay, I get it. But we're talking about people who leave. They leave it all.
Right.
And deny the Christ
yes.
in which they served. I'll get into more of this later, but I just want to add something right here. You want to know, and I think Jonathan would bear witness to this. I know Bob would, and Harry probably would. I know Tommy Combs is not here. They're in Florida for the conference this week. They'll be back, but I know he can. Listen, it is never a fun thing when people leave. All of those, okay? People die. I miss people. I missed your mom and dad, okay?
Yes.
I missed my mom and dad, right? I miss David Beck.
Yes.
Okay? I miss when people move. I hate that Mark and Miriam live in Richmond.
Yeah.
I do. I grieve over those things. And nothing I can do about it, but I hate to see people move. I hate it when people just leave. That's a grief. But verse 19 says God uses to purify His church when they leave. These antichrists. It is to the church's advantage when they leave. These antichrists deceive, they deny, and eventually they depart, if the Lord so allows. These antichrists enter only to sabotage the church through false teaching and depart, separating from true believers, leaving a path of spiritual destruction, and even taking some with them. So that's the sad thing is antichrist are lost people, but there are true believers that could follow them.
Yes, right.
You understand that danger?
Yes.
Listen, there are, just forget it. Seek to destroy the church. Listen, this is the seeking of the destroying of the church from the inside, not the outside. That church that Bob preached about in Ephesians 4, be on guard. You assimilate people in the ministry. As we train you to do the work of the ministry, we stand guard. Because I tell you what, Satan would have no greater joy than to destroy Providence Baptist Church, as he would any church that proclaims the truth. What's to be our response? We're going to stop here, but what's to be our response? First of all, you need to pray for Providence Baptist Church.
Yes, yes.
You need to pray. You need to pray for your elders as we protect you from false doctrine.
Yes.
These things are... We have an exception. I've been in churches where people hand books. This is the greatest book in the world. And I look at it and I know immediately this person is... Books like Joyce Myers and Ed hands you a book, it's more likely it's from Martin Luther or some dead guy. Okay? This stuff is rampant. Need to pray for Providence. Pray for the elders as we protect you from false doctrine. And please pray that we will disciple the Padillas.
Yes.
The children. That they may grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. And as that verse that Bob will be in even more, that they will be no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Padillas, be on guard. The last hour's here. The spirit of the Antichrist is already evident, even in John's day.
Yes.
And we'll get into more verse 19, but they went out. They weren't of us. Had they been with us, they would continued. And they showed that they were really not of the faith, these who were the spirit of the Antichrist. Be on guard. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And as we just use this today to come alongside the text in Ephesians, Father, to warn us that we are in these last hours. The clock is ticking, and it won't be long until your return. And that may be another 1,000 years, but it's sooner today than it was yesterday. Father, I pray for the protection of providence. Oh, you have protected us in the past. You will protect us in the future. I pray that, Lord, the spirit of the Antichrist, that spirit of denial of Christ and His deity, of who He is, the denial of His eternality, the denial of His work, Father, that denial would stay out of here. Father, I pray for Bob and myself that you would give us understanding, that we will keep our eyes and our ears open, and we will use it to help educate and to help disciple the Padeas and also the young men and the young women, that we would all grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, that we would be maturing, as it were. Father, we no longer are being fed on milk, but now the meat of the Word.
Yes.
And Lord, I do pray for the Padeas. Father, that you would help us to point them to the sufficiency of your Word. That they would know how to answer these Antichrist. And Father, that you would use it to the purifying of your church, to the praise and honor of your grace. Father, bless our fellowship now as we gather around the table. Bless the food. May it be also to the praise and honor of who you are. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.